Well, it's good to see you this evening. It being a holiday weekend, if you're visiting with us, you're only meeting about, a third maybe of the congregation. We've got a lot of folks on. Please keep them in your prayers as you go along through the weekend. And if you are visiting, safe travels to you as you go home. We do some kind of different things on the last Sunday evening of the month, and so it is the last Sunday, and we will dedicate our evening to the public reading of the Scripture. So we're going to read from Hebrews tonight, so if you haven't already done so, you might want to turn over there. And the reading is in connection with the theme that we've worked on through the month of May, or some of the things that we've been trying to think through, the topic being the subject of diligence. As we are working generally through the year on adding to our faith, virtue, etc., etc., from 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter a couple of times indicates in that passage of Scripture that we need to be diligent about this process. And so we've talked about diligence through the month. Our memory verse is from 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, if you want to say this with me. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. The letter to the Hebrews is... along with Romans, one of the more, I guess, maybe challenging letters in the New Testament, because there is such a necessity of appreciating the background in order to understand some of the references. It appears to be written to Christians who previously had been practicing Jews. Now, they're still Jewish by descent, but they have left Judaism to become Christians, and apparently... what you can deduce from reading the letters, they're being pressured to leave Christianity and go back to Judaism. And so the general argument of the letter is essentially that if you leave Christianity, you are leaving something better to go back to something that was not as good. And so you find argument that runs through the letter that's comparing things from the old law and things in the new law. And we'll see that. We're going to read the first six chapters, so we're really only going to cover about half of it. But you'll notice, especially in the first three chapters, that there's a comparison between the place of Jesus and the place of angels in God's work. You see that in chapter 1. As you move along into the second chapter, you will see that God addresses the position of Jesus as being over God's creation. And while death has not yet been brought under Jesus' domain, or at least in regards to the resurrection, he has been placed in this position of preeminence. And once again, the angels are not in that position. Then you get to chapter 3, and he's going to compare Jesus and Moses. Moses being a servant in the household of God, Jesus being a son over the household of God. And as you get to that point, he starts making some admonitions. The admonition being, do not throw your trust away, do not fail to enter into the rest, and appreciate your high priest. That's where he's going to go in chapters 5 and 6. And he's going to start talking about Jesus being our mediator in the same line of Melchizedek. And the admonitions that go along with it. I want you to notice, and the reason we're reading this passage, is that here's a group of people whose faith is being tested, and while there's a lot of instruction, the admonition is essentially, be diligent. If you look at chapter 4, chapter 4 beginning in verse 9, therefore there remains a rest for the people of God. He who has entered his rest has himself ceased from his works as God did. Therefore let us be diligent to enter into the rest. And then you get over to chapter 6, which George has already read for us. And once again, he talks about those who had been enlightened by God. And if they turn away and turn their back on the sacrifice, it's impossible for them to be saved if they turn away from Jesus Christ. And in verses 9 and following, we're confident of better things from you. God hasn't forgotten what you have done. And so then in verse 11, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end. Regardless of the situation we find ourselves in as Christians, whether we are working on our character like we're talking about through the year in 2 Peter, whether we're struggling with circumstances in our life, as the Hebrews are, they're being pressured to leave the Lord and their faith is in question. This idea of standing fast, working hard, forging through, being earnest, diligence is absolutely vital to our continuing faithfulness to God. So with those thoughts in mind, let's read from the epistle to the Hebrews tonight. We will read the first six chapters and then we will be finished for the evening. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed to be heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. To which of the angels did He ever say, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to me a Son." But when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all the angels of God worship Him." And of the angels, He says, "Who makes His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire?" But to the Son, He says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, Your God, has anointed You with the oil of gladness more than Your companions. And You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of Your hands. They will perish, but You will remain. They will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up and they will be changed, but You are the same. Your years will not fail." But to which of the angels has He ever said, "Sit at My right hand till I make Your enemies Your footstool"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. If the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will. For He has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, "What is man that You are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that You take care of him? You've made Him a little lower than the angels, but You have crowned Him with glory and honor and set Him over the works of Your hands. You have put all things in subjection under His feet. For in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now we do not see yet all things put under Him, but we do see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it is fitting for Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason He's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, "I will declare Your name to My brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to You." And again, "I will put My trust in Him." And again, "Here am I and the children whom God has given Me." Inasmuch then, as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed He does not give aid to angels, but He does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope, firm to the end. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they do always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they will not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter into his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since, therefore, it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter in because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. First, if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Therefore, there remains a rest for the people of God. He who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest is taken from among men, and is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also, Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And he also says in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms or the laying on of hands or of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. This we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it's rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we're confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all discussion. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, who has become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. I'm going to tell you, folks, as I get older, as you get older, I'm sure you see the same things that I see. In some ways, serving God's easier. I'm not as attracted to some of the junk that I used to be attracted to when I was younger, and I suspect you aren't either. But there are other things that come along that Satan uses as temptations. You get tired. You get frustrated. Things in life aren't always the way you want them to be. Things in your family aren't always the way you want them to be. Things with your health aren't always the way you want them to be. Things in your work, in the local church, are not always the way you want them to be. And as you go along in life, a whole new set of issues arise. I'm not sure what's harder. I'm not sure if it's harder when you're young to deal with all the pressures of the ungodliness around you, or if it's harder when you get older just to hang on when sometimes you feel like that's all you're doing. And the key, it seems to me, whether you're a young person working your way through the difficulties of your youth or whether you're an older person trying to be faithful in your old age, is, as the Hebrew writer says, you got to keep on. You got to be diligent. You got to keep on working. There's still a rest out there. Don't fall short. We're right here. God assured that there is a rest for us. And all the work we've done in the past, God recognizes, but He expects us not to become sluggish now and to keep on keeping on, because He's made all these provisions. We have a high priest. We have one who sympathizes, who makes intercession. And there are days, folks, when that's what gets me through. And I think that's what the Hebrew writer is trying to say to us. And so as we move on, starting next month, we're going to start working on these various and sundry things that we're supposed to add. Some of them will be easy for some of us. Some of them will be harder for some of us. Let's remember all the foundation we've been building, and let's be diligent and work hard to make sure we're serving the Lord faithfully. Thanks for your attention tonight. If you are subject to the invitation, if you need to make your life right, if you need to obey the gospel, we'd love to help you any way that we can. And we would invite your response while we stand and sing.